right, Psalm 27:1. They're going to sing it through, and then you can join them with it on the second time through. I've got to sing it again. Sing it with them this time, if you would. Now, while we were up there too, Paul led us in singing Matthew 4:19, and so he's going to lead us in that, and they'll sing it through one time, and then you join them on it, okay? When you sing this with them, let's see, when they do fishers or the F, anything that has an F in it, the women put their hand up. Okay, females, F starts with female. I mean, the female starts with F, so when the females, anytime let's do an F, you put your hand up. And then when we do men, the men put their hand up. All right? Do that. All right, go ahead.
If you follow me, if you follow me.
right, that's good. Hope you enjoyed that. Now, that'll be our text for the message, Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 19. I'm speaking to you tonight on the subject, a good fisherman. A good fisherman, Matthew 4 and verse number 19. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They're fleeing somewhere. I guess they're going to the pool hall. I don't know what's going on. Those two. All right. Well, give my wife time to get back there and get seated, and then we'll have a word of prayer and pray that God will bless the message of the evening. All right? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, the privilege to have it, the privilege to preach it. Now bless us in the message tonight. Help us to learn something. Cause us all to be different because of what we learned. We pray tonight in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. I have several points for you on the subject, a good fisherman tonight. They'll all have a spiritual application and you need to make the application of that. Turn, if you would, in your Bible to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And so we'll give you the first point that Mrs. Vineyard and the children gave to me when the motorhome pulled up down there at the Mall of America in Minneapolis this past Thursday. And that is, point number one, a good fisherman prepares his gear. He prepares his gear. You got to get everything ready that you're going to use while you go fishing. There's a multitude of things that have to be prepared if you're going to be a good fisherman. It says there, Matthew 24, verse 38 and 39, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The Lord is telling us there in Scripture that the people of Noah's day were not prepared. And the coming of the flood come upon them unawares. They were not aware of the coming of the flood. He said, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. People won't be prepared. A good fisherman is always prepared. You want to be a good Christian and be prepared for the coming of the Son of Man. Amen? The second thing, go to Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. What does a good fisherman do? A good fisherman gets up early. He gets up early. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, the Bible tells us there of the habits of our Lord and says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. A good fisherman gets up early. When you go fishing, you need to get up early. You got to get out there early. Our little grandson Alex is 4 years old, Tom's son. I can remember on two or three occasions that Tom got him up real early to go fishing with us. And it was a blessing to watch that little four-year-old boy try to motivate around that early in the morning. But a good fisherman learns he must get up early. You catch the better fish early in the morning, see. And we'll get to staying out late here in a little bit, but you've got to get up early. Number three, a good fisherman goes out often. A good fisherman goes out often. I taught him a song myself while we were fishing one day, and I had Andrea and Kristen and Catherine and Amy and Bradley in the boat with me. And I taught them a song. I learned how to sing on this vacation. And you might appreciate my song. Now, I'll sing it to you if you're going to go out often, see. And the song goes like this. Shopping, no fishing, yes. Shopping, no fishing, yes. Shopping, no fishing, yes. That's an easy tune to get. Sing that. All you male types that aren't afraid of your wife, sing that with me. Shopping, no fishing, yes. Shopping, no fishing, yes. Shopping, no fishing, yes. And then the traders, the women, taught the children a song, and one day the children come and sang to me, fishing, no shopping, yes. Fishing, no shopping, yes. All you ladies, sing that with me. Fishing, no shopping, yes. Fishing, no shopping, yes. You're not a very good audience. You don't help. Women are not helpful about a whole lot of things. But anyway, I'm just kidding on that. A good fisherman goes out often. Justin showed us that he was persistent, and he wanted to get out there and get fishing. He was after the fishing, and that's a blessing. And it was a blessing then to watch him catch that big muskie for us. It you know, wasn't for those folks up there. They catch 50 and 60 inch muskie. But for somebody from down here, that was a big fish, 31 inches long. And to watch that little boy catch him, that was a blessing. But a good fisherman, if you've got to be a good fisherman, you've got to go out often. Number four, turn to Nehemiah 4 and verse 6. A good fisherman, talk about a good fisherman. A good fisherman is not lazy. He's not lazy. Nehemiah 4, verse 6. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. The child of God can't be lazy. The child of God needs to get a mind to work. You and I are living in a society that doesn't like work. Work's a dirty word to them. The Christian ought to get promoted where he works because he ought to be able to outwork everybody who works on the job with him. If you'll just work hard, your boss will promote you. And a good Christian ought not be lazy. I remember a fellow I used to pastor. He's not here anymore. He was so lazy. I went over to his house one day, was talking to him and his wife, and his wife, he said to me, he said, "Preacher, I'm going to have to slow down." She said, "Preacher, thank God for these truthful wives. Tell you the truth about these men." She said, "If he slows down anymore, he's going to be going in reverse." A good fisherman is not lazy. Can't be lazy. Shouldn't be lazy. Number five, a good fisherman knows where he's going. He knows where he's going. Now, you got to know where you're going. We fish on a lake in Canada, Lake Rufus, Brother Wesson and Brother Pike Jones, and some of the rest of them went up there and fished on Lake Rufus while we were up in Mille Lacs in northern Minnesota. And both of those lakes have a, you better know where you're going and you better pay attention to where you're going because you're going to tear up a lot of equipment if you don't pay attention to where you're going. There's a lot of rocks in both lakes. And a good fisherman needs to know where he's going. Thank God a Christian can know where he's going. "These things have I written unto you to believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." You can know that you have eternal life. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I deserve to go to hell. But 38 years ago this fall, I changed where I was going. And I did that simply by trusting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. A good fisherman knows where he's going. Number six. A good fisherman tries not to scare the fish. He tries not to scare the fish. Now, when you go fishing, you got to approach the fish cautiously. Look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 16. Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 16. The Scripture says there, Matthew 10 and verse 16, it says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." A good fisherman tries not to scare the fish. Now, let's review and see what you've learned tonight. First of all, a good fisherman what? I can't hear you. A good fisherman what? Number two, a good fisherman what? Number three, a good fisherman. Number four, a good fisherman. Number five, a good fisherman. And number six, a good fisherman tries not to scare the fish. Now, you've got to be careful. You can't get everything ahead. What you need to get, talking to a sinner, so you have to be careful that you don't scare the fish. All right, number seven. A good fisherman uses appropriate lures. You catch walleye with a certain type of lure. Sometimes you can catch pike with that lure. You can catch pike with about anything, because pike, depending upon their mood, they're a bad dude in a rude mood, you can catch them with about anything. But you can't catch walleye with everything. So you have to use an appropriate lure. Look, if you would, at Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17. Now, this is always appropriate, for it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I visited a family not long ago, and this family said, well, we won't be coming back. They visited our church. They said, we won't be coming back to your church. And I said, well, okay, would you mind if I ask why? I just want to know why. Have I done something that offended you? Or is there something? And they said, you use too much Scripture. Now, I've been here 25 years. I've heard that excuse or reason given. You just use too much. Use Scripture for everything you do. They didn't say that, but I've had people say that too. Well, you ought to use the Scripture. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When they said you use too much Scripture, I just smiled at them and said, well, thank you. God bless you. And got up and left. In a conversation. No need to talk to somebody like that. They don't have a whole lot of spiritual sense. You can't use too much Scripture. The Scripture is always appropriate for my life. The Scripture is always appropriate for your life. Number eight, a good fisherman catches fish a lot of different ways. Paul said, I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 22. See, So you catch fish a lot of different ways. We had the deaf camp a few weeks ago, and a young lady went to the deaf camp and got saved up at the deaf camp at Loyal, north of Loyal, Oklahoma. And she got saved. And the Crabtrees talked with her, or the deaf workers talked with her, and they lined her up to come this morning for baptism, and her mother come, and her mother's fiancé came, and they came to watch the little girl get baptized. And while they were here this morning, we caught them. Caught the mother, caught the fiancé. They both got saved, and they got baptized this morning. We have the bus ministry. We catch fish with the bus ministry. We have the teenage ministry. We catch fish with the teenage ministry. We have the Sunday school ministry. We catch fish with the Sunday school ministry. And a good fisherman, he catches fish a lot of different ways. We have Thursday night soul winning. Not this week because of the July the 4th. But normally on Thursday night, we have Thursday night soul winning. We'll have Saturday morning soul winning. We catch fish all kinds of different ways. Number nine, a good fisherman is willing to learn from the more experienced fisherman. A good fisherman is willing to learn from the more experienced fisherman. Now, some people don't want to take little children fishing because they know there's a lot of problems in taking little children fishing. But little children need to go, and they need to learn from somebody that's more experienced. When you take somebody that's not real experience, you have to teach them everything. You have to teach them how to cast the rod. They have to learn how to cast. And you have to teach people. Most people, when they cast, they start at casting. What they want to do with the rod is throw it like that, sort of like that. You don't do that. You want to put your elbow down beside of your body, and you just flip it with your wrist. And casting is a matter of just flipping the rod like that and flipping it out there. And you got to practice that. And so you teach children that. Then a good fisherman, as he's fishing, he's got to keep that rod up, the tip of that rod up to a certain degree. And then he's got to keep that line ready and tight. You always keep the, you don't let any slack line get there. Because, see, many fish will take your lure and then spit it back out before you can set the hook if your line is slack. And so a good fisherman can't be proud. He's got to learn. Tom and Paul and Brad had the privilege of fishing with a 21-year-old fella. Tom's 30, what? 6. And Paul will be 34 in a few days. And the 34 and 36-year-old man had the privilege of learning from a 21-year-old man. You can't be proud and learn from people. You can't say, well, I know how to do it. I know how to do it. You have to learn. And remember the story in the book of Judges, in Judges 7, the story of Gideon. What Gideon said to his faithful 300, he said, look on me and do likewise. Judges 7:17. So a good fisherman has to be willing to learn from the more experienced. Number 10, a good fisherman normally catches more small fish than he does big ones. You catch more smaller fish than you do big ones. How many of you ever go fishing? You go fishing very much? When you go fishing, you're going to find it out. You catch a lot more little ones than you do the trophies. See, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 14, Jesus said, suffer little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Churches that win a lot of souls are criticized, but churches that don't win a lot of souls by saying, and the churches that don't win is, well, they just get a lot of children saved. And people come here and visit and they say, well, you sure do have a lot of children there. Well, normally, if you reach young adults, they're going to have children. And you've got a few children in the bunch. Well, a good fisherman normally catches more small fish than he does big ones. I like to catch some big fish. I've caught some big fish in my lifetime. I have some big fish mounted and hanging in my office. I have a 10.5-pound black bass mounted in there, and beside of him is a 12-pound black bass. I caught both of those fish one day apart, caught one of them one day and caught the other one the next day, 20 foot away from where I caught the first one. But I've caught thousands of little bitty fish, say, over the years. So you catch more small ones than you do big ones. Number 11, a good fisherman must be able to use the equipment he has. You must be able to use the equipment that you have. You got to get equipment that's appropriate for the fish. You got to get equipment that's appropriate for the lure. And then you have to use the equipment that you have. Now, we went fishing for walleye up in northern Minnesota. And they use a little rig that has three little old bitty tiny hooks on it. I have about 40 spots in my two hands where those little hooks have been hooked. There were occasions I had all three of them in my hand. There were occasions I had all three of those little hooks in my hand, and I was trying to help one of my children, one of my grandchildren, with a fish they were trying to land and got hooked by the other one. There were occasions that I had all three hooks in this hand and a stick bait, which has three treble hooks on, hooked in my right leg, and I'm trying to help another child, and we're hung this way, that way, and ever which way. But that's just part of it. You got to be able to use it. And if you take a bunch of little kids with you, you're going to have all kinds of things. So what do you need? You need a lot of patience. Then you got those women that are shopping, so you really need patience to deal with all of that. Amen. Number 12. A good fisherman must put the lure where the fish are. See, you're not going to catch the fish by putting that lure where the fish isn't. You got to put the bait in front of the fish if you're going to catch the fish. Now, that's what you got to do with the gospel. You got to put the gospel where the fish are. You got to put the gospel where the fish are. Tom, you stand up over here. Melissa, his wife, they're not getting along good together since the fishing trip. she's sitting back here with her brother because she's mad at her husband. Stand up, Melissa. She's mad at me. She won't stand up. But they're missionaries in Ivory Coast. You put the gospel over there in West Africa. Okay, thank you. Be seated. Paul, you and Rhonda, stand up. They're missionaries in the Philippines. You put the gospel in the Philippines. That's where sinners are. Thank you. You can be seated. But Mr. Martyr, stand up there. They're missionaries in China. They put the gospel in China, where sinners are. Thank you. You can be seated. But Miss Post, you stand up back there. Again, missionaries in West Africa, put the gospel where the fish are in West Africa. Thank you. You can be seated. But Miss Herndon, stand up over here. They're missionaries to the Indians. You put the gospel where the missionaries and the sinners are. The missionaries got to take the gospel. Thank you. You can be seated. Have I missed any of our other missionaries, any of our other missionaries here with us tonight that I've missed? But Mrs. Burchett, stand up there. Missionaries at the camp, stand up there if you would. Brother Burchett, I told Brother Burchett he really looked rejuvenated when I got there. He said, I'm tired. But anyway, you put the gospel where the fish are. Thank you. And amen. That's what you got to do. You got to put the gospel where the fish are. So a good fisherman, he uses appropriate lures. A good fisherman, he catches fish a lot of different ways. A good fisherman is willing to learn from the more experienced. A good fisherman normally catches more small fish than he does big ones. A good fisherman must be able to use the equipment that you have. And a good fisherman puts the lures where the fish are. Let me see how well you're learning. Let's test you a little bit. Number 7, a good fisherman what? Can't hear you. You must have gone to sleep since that last test. Number 7, a good fisherman what? Number 8, a good fisherman what? Number 9, a good fisherman what? Number 10, a good fisherman what? Well, that come out pretty good, I guess. Number 11, a good fisherman what? And then number 12, a good fisherman what? All right, number 13. And this is really important. If you can't do this, you can't catch fish. If you do everything else and you fail to do this, you won't catch fish. See, you get that lure right there, and you get that rod, just at the right angle, it's right there. And I use rods that have a longer handle on them, and so what I do with them, I take them and I hold them right there, and I stick that handle in my stomach, and I hold it like that, and I get the one hand underneath it there, and the other hand's on the reel, and I'm reeling, and I'm watching that line, and I feel it, and I feel it, and I feel it, and I get a little bit of resistance on that lure of that line. What I do? Set the hook. Why'd you jump? Bunch of you. Jump like somebody got you. You got it. That's number 13. A good fisherman must be able to set the hook at the right time. If you can't set the hook, you can't catch fish. See? You got to set the hook at the right time. In Luke 16, the story of Paul and Silas and the Philippian jailer, and brought them out and said, verse 30 and 31, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Now, you got to set the hook if you're going to catch sinners. You've got to set the hook if you're going to catch fish. A good fisherman must be able to set the hook at the right time. There's a time that everybody will get saved. If you and I'll just be available at that time. See. But we got to be watching. We got to be diligent. Number 14. A good fisherman works at it hard. You can't catch many fish if you don't work at it. Now, a lot of people don't like to go fishing with Brother Vineyard because Brother Vineyard works at it too much. He makes it work. Tom, I remember one time we come home from vacation and we pulled in the driveway. Miss Vineyard had gone to see her mother, and so it was just Tom and Paul and I. They were little boys. We pulled in the driveway And Tom made an announcement. He said, "Boy, I sure am glad we're home." He said, "Dad's vacation sure are a lot of work." Never will forget that announcement he made to Paul and I sure am glad we're home. Dad's vacations sure are a lot of work. Colossians 3:23. "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." A good fisherman works at it hard. We ought to work hard at getting the gospel out. We need to work hard at getting the gospel out in Oklahoma City. We need to work hard at getting the gospel out in Oklahoma. We need to work hard at getting the gospel out in America. We need to work hard at getting the gospel out all around the world. A good fisherman works at it hard. Number 15, a good fisherman stays out late. He stays out late. You can't come in, you can't have banker's hours and be a good fisherman. You can't be a good soul winner and work banker's hours. You can't build a church for Jesus Christ and do it by working banker's hours. See, you got to stay out late sometime. You get up early, stay out late. Get up early, stay out late. Number 16, a good fisherman takes care of the catch after catching them. I can remember one time we went up to the Cimarron River. Brother Ross went up there with us, and Brother Finn went up there with us, and we fished. The white bass were running on the Cimarron River, and it was at spring break, and we went up there, and we caught a bunch of white bass. Come back to my house, pulled in the driveway, we put 928 white bass in the driveway and had to clean them. We cleaned fish all night long that night. 920. I thought, man, why don't we bring so many fish home for? We gave fish away to everybody. You say, white bass, you can keep all you. I mean, you can keep all you can catch, usually, of white bass. We had a bunch of them. But you got to take care of them after you're catching them. See, that's what you got to do. You go to the fish cleaning shed or wherever you clean the fish. You got to have a fish cleaning place and clean those fish. And there's a lot of work in cleaning fish and cleaning them properly. But you take care. The Bible teaches you to do that. Number 17, a good fisherman learns from his mistakes. He learns from his mistakes. Brother Ross says, he has a nickname. I call him Rod Dropper. But Ross said, "How many rods do you think in the year you've been fishing you've dropped in a lake?" "Three. You've dropped three in a lake while you're fishing with me. Good night." Oh, he thought it was just with me. He didn't think it's all the time. He's dropped a lot of rods. So, but you got to learn from mistakes, you see. And before we went fishing, I got some little line and some hooks. I went to Ace Hardware and I bought 8 little hooks. And I fixed up all these little lines so that you could hook them onto the children and hook them onto the rods. And I forgot to get them out. So we were fishing and one of the children dropped the rod in the ocean. I always call wherever you're fishing the ocean, you see. No matter what it's called, that's the ocean, you see. And the rod went down in the ocean, and so we had to go around with the tow motor. We're looking down in the water. We're looking, and I had some buoys, but didn't have them out ready for that occasion. You know, throw in the water. If you drop a rod, you throw the buoy out, and then you localize where you dropped it. Because if you're on the water, you can get away from where the rod is. See, but we looked and we looked, and finally, Uncle Tom, he's looking down, and there it is. And so Brother Paul, the father of the child who dropped the rod, went down in the ocean and saved the rod and come up with it. And boy, he's happy. And so the rod dropper, that's that name I gave you, the rod dropper always, when the rod is secured and found, what happens with the rod dropper, they usually have on a long face. And as soon as you get that rod back, their face shortens and they smile. Brother Bill Johnson, he's good. Bill will do that. He'll put on one of those heavy lures And this sucker's so heavy, boy. I mean, when he throws it, boom, there goes everything. And he's thrown the lure, and he's thrown his rod in there. So what I have to do with Bill, I'm not going down in the ocean after his rods. I take and I put on a spoon that has treble hooks on it, and then I just get back across where the line is, and I cast across the line, let the spoon go to the bottom, and I reel it slowly across there, and pretty soon he'll hook his line, and I'll pull his line up. Then you got to wind up 600 yards of line to get his reel. Hey, but you can pull the rod and reel out once you pull up enough line, and there it is, and you save the day. And Bill Johnson's face, it always, when you pull it up, you watch his face, it shortens down like that. But, so you learn, you have to learn from your mistake. I don't have any rods that I fish with that have been shortened. My sons, each one of them asked me, well, where'd you get this rod? Why is it so short? And I said, well, somebody broke the end of it all. And I just keep fishing with them. You know, one of these days, probably I'm going to have a 30-inch rod I'm casting with that you just keep putting on another tip and shortening it up. You learn from your mistakes. And if you make a mistake, that Brother Fisk, here he is over here, that, you know, I tried to tell him, I said, Brother Fisk, you can't reel these fighting fish up close to the boat. But he had been used to catching black bass down in Texas, you know, and you reel those babies out and get them out of the water in a fish bank. He'd been used to walking around little ponds and pulling those boogers out. And he hooked that first big pike up there a few years ago up in Canada. And he reeled that thing, and I'm hollering, don't reel! Don't reel! Stop! Stop! He paid no more attention to me than the man on the moon. He just kept reeling, boy. And he reeled that thing up all the way, and that big fish looked up at him and said, I don't like that ugly man up there. Turned around, broke his line, and maybe even broke his rod. But you can't reel him up. You got to learn from your mistakes. Well, he did some Christian cussing. He didn't really cuss, but, you know, he wanted to. And then turned around. It wasn't an hour later till he did the same thing again. What's my point? He didn't learn from his mistake. Number 18. A good fisherman keeps trying and trying and trying and trying. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now I've pastored this church 25 years. Every week, we just keep trying and trying and trying and trying to get people saved. Not everybody we have make a profession of faith really got saved. I know that. I got that much sense. People will come and they'll try to use us. See? And they'll come. We had some folks here this morning. A man made a profession of faith this morning. And he's trying to use us to help him get a visa to stay in America. You say you're judging him. No, I'm just telling you what happened. Because after he made his profession of faith, what he talks about. And I don't know. I'm not God. I'm not the judge. But that's not going to stop me from trying. People talk to me all the time. They'll give me something and tell me they want. Well, I need you to do this. And God has led me to this church. And God led me here. As soon as I walked in, I knew this is where I was supposed to be. The people told me that. And, well, what can I do to help you? And then they pull out all the stuff that they want you to do to help them. A fellow did that with me this morning. Pulled out all this stuff he's wanting me to do for him, and he's got a business, and so on and so forth. You know, I wonder about that. But because that happens, that's not going to keep me from trying to get people saved. I'm going to just keep on trying. Keep on trying. Brother Wesson, Brother Pike Jones and Brother Wesson. Where's Brother Wesson? Oh, there he is on the back row. They were in on... No, you wasn't in on the boat sinking deal, was you? So Pike missed out on that. But But Brother West and them, Brother Harding was in on it. Yeah, Brother Harding, you were there with that, wasn't you? Yeah. They sunk a couple of boats. Brother Price, you were there for that experience, weren't you? Yes, they sunk a... Boy, I tell you this, keep Brother Wesson off of Mille Lacs. Where we were, Brother Wesson, you always want to go with me when you go to Mille Lacs, because it's got some big waves on that, baby. I mean, there's some 6 and 8 foot waves coming across there. And you could sink a boat in that pretty easy. But just because you have a problem and something doesn't work like you want it to, you don't quit trying. You keep and keep trying and keep trying and keep trying. So, let me give you the last test and we'll be done for tonight. Number 13, a good fisherman is what? He went back to sleep. You done went to sleep on me again. Number 13, a good fisherman is what? Number 14, a good fisherman what? Number 15, a good fisherman what? Number 16, a good fisherman what? Number 17, a good fisherman what? Number 18, a good fisherman what? He just keeps on trying. Now, what kind of fisherman are you? And I'm free. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? How many of God's people here tonight say, Brother Vineyard, while you preach tonight, the Lord spoke to my heart. I have a need tonight. God dealt with me about it. Pray for me about it tonight. Set your hand up. Let me see that that's your prayer. Big and high. Big and high. God dealt with you about something here tonight. Set your hand up. Let me see it. All right, God bless you. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. Let me ask this question. Is anybody here tonight that's not saved? Anyone, any man, any woman who would say, Brother Vineyard, I don't know tonight that my sins are forgiven. I don't know that my sins are under the blood of Christ. Pray for me about that. Hold your hand up. Let me see that that's your prayer. Big and high. Would you do it? Some little children, I'll pray for them. Have been and continue to do so. God bless you. Thank you. Are the people here tonight say, Brother Vineyard, I need to be baptized. I've been saved but haven't been scripturally baptized. Pray for me about that. Hold your hand up. Let me see if that's your prayer. Pray for me about that. Anybody say that tonight? Anybody at all? Anybody here tonight needs to come and join this church by letter? Unite with this local independent Baptist church and get involved in a soul winning effort. You need to do that. You're an invitation. You come and do that also. Heavenly Father, we preached a little bit different message with certainly a lot more points than we normally do in a sermon. But we thank you for the privilege of learning. We thank you for the application that Christian people can make to life. And this evening, tonight, we pray, O our God, that you bless the message in the lives of our people. May we all be better Christians because of what we heard here tonight. Undertake for us to that end. I pray for these little children when they're old enough to realize that they're a sinner, that you'll save every one of them. Don't let one of them die and go to hell. And for every other decision that should be made here tonight, oh, our God, we pray that people would do what you want them to do in this place. For the backslider, I pray that the backslider would come to the altar and get on his knees before the altar and do business with thee. Move in our midst now, I pray this evening, in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you stand quietly to your feet? While you do, the choir will sing. While they sing, the altar is open.